Mike Sklens, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, Episode 48, A Doggy Dog World. We've got a couple segments for you this week. First off, we've got a brand new segment for you called That Nintendo Year, featuring myself, Neil Ronahan, and Zach Miller. Our second segment features Scott Thompson, Neil Ronahan, and JP Corbin talking about the myriad of Nintendo news that came out this week. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, and welcome to the year 2006. This is That Nintendo Year. I'm with Mike Sklens, who was, I believe, active in 2006 for them.
Yeah, this was right around the time I had I was just graduating college when E3 rolled around, and then I like kind of just went to podcast only, and then after like a little bit after that, I dropped off entirely. Now I'm back! Hooray!
Yay! And we also have Zach Miller, who I believe was still about a year and a half from joining the site.
About that, yeah. 2007, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Were you involved with the Game Informer? Like the community there at this point?
Yes, very heavily.
Yeah. I think I was...
At the start, where Carl found me.
In 2006, I wasn't really doing a whole lot related to the game journalism. I was just a punk kid about to graduate high school.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, I hate you.
Skeeting. Yeah. Doing kickflips behind the high school.
I was skitching.
Skitching. Were you even alive when people skitched?
I don't know. I mean, I did see Back to the Future, so I was aware it was a practice. I remember there was a game called Skitchin. I remember that.
It was a skitching
game. That's the wrong year, though. We're here to talk about 2006.
It's called Skitchin. But anyway, we're here to talk about the games that Nintendo released in the year 2006. The impetus for this, as I was just explaining to Mike and Zach, is basically we are in a year where, it's the end of Nintendo's previous home console, and we have a new one coming out likely in November. And I figured it'd be interesting to go back through the annals of history and look at other launch years for systems. In this case, 2006 was the year that the Wii came out at the end of November, much like the Wii U will probably come out. So we're going to go month by month and spend more time on games that we actually care about and discuss the games that Nintendo released in the retail space on DS, GameCube, Game Boy Advance, and Wii. So let's start off with January. The only game that came out from Nintendo in January was True Swing Golf for the DS.
I remember that.
Which it later came out on DSiWare, or at least in some broken up form, I believe. I never played this game. I heard it's an okay golf game. I think it's by TNESoft, who did a lot of Virtual Boy games.
Define a lot of Virtual Boy games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's put it this way. What are there, like 18 Virtual Boy games? I think TNESoft might have done a third to half of them.
Wow.
I don't think there's ever been a really good golf game on the DS.
Yeah. I mean, on the 3DS, there's some cool eShop games, but on the DS, not so much. Unless you count the Mario Golf games, if you have a Game Boy Advance. The Game Boy Advance.
So, Mario. January.
January. So February was a lot more interesting. We had a title from the Game Boy Advance, the GameCube, and the DS. The Game Boy Advance had probably one of my early favorites. And looking back at this year, one of my favorites, Drill Dozer, which was made by the Pokemon guys.
Yeah, this is a game
I played at
E3 and I really liked it, but I didn't pick it up.
Yeah, I only got it. I think I was actually talking to Carl about it. I believe he reviewed it for the site. I ended up picking it up used like 2 years ago, and it's a really neat little game. I hope at some point it hits the 3DS Virtual Console.
That'd be cool.
Neil, they don't release Game Boy Advance games on the 3DS
Virtual Console. Quote unquote.
Neil, they don't release Game Boy games on the eShop Virtual Console.
Neil, they don't release games on anything. That's why we're having this discussion, so I don't know where you got the idea that they released this game called Drill Dozer.
Sounds like nonsense
to me.
So Drill Dozer was maybe not a marquee title, but definitely a very interesting one. I feel like if Drill Dozer were to come out today, it would be an eShop title. So
yes.
I mean, I guess in that sense it does explain why earlier this year, for the first 4 months we had two 3DS games, because we did get a crap ton of Nintendo published eShop titles in January and February. We got Dylan's Rolling Westerns, Kura Samurai, Kessel's Corridors was in April.
January is a good time to release a lot of the quality downloadable content games, I think, because everyone gets their systems on Christmas, and you know, by the time like middle of January rolls around, like everyone's like, what else can I do with this thing? And there's no big budget titles coming out then, so you can pop in a really like high quality e-release and net a lot of sales. That's what Sony does all the time. They do that Spring Fever thing.
Yeah.
It's a little later, but same idea.
And then another game that came out is another kind of niche title, and that's Chibi-Robo, which I think was kind of a surprise that it even came over to North America.
It's
by the guys over at Skip. I've never actually played this game, though I've thought about it.
This is like one of the two or three GameCube games that my girlfriend Amanda owns.
Is she a big fan?
Yeah, she really likes it. She thinks it's adorable and it's really fun.
Yeah, I got the DS game, which was oddly a Walmart exclusive in North America.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the DS game, but it just kind of wore thin for me quickly, and everything that I've heard is that the GameCube game is much better. But yeah, that's Chibi-Robo. That was the first GameCube release of the year. And the next game on DS is Super Princess Peach, which came out on February 27th, 2006.
I've always wanted to play that.
It's pretty good, in all honesty. I don't know, Mike, have you ever played this game?
No. I thought it looked interesting, but there's a lot of games that just like slip right past me, especially like mid-range titles like this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a game when it first came out, I kind of ignored it, but I ended up borrowing it from a friend of mine. This is the same time as a later 2006 release, Yoshi's Island DS, and while I did not like that game, I really enjoyed Super Princess Peach. It's definitely not a top-tier game at all, but it's for what it is, it's very fun.
Well, so, if I ever see it somewhere, I'm going to pick it up.
Although I feel like we do need to point out, despite the eShop, which there were some games, at this point, if we're comparing this year exactly to 2012, we still would not have had a 3DS retail release, just so we're all clear.
Yeah, they've already got two, or a GBA one out, soon to be two.
Two DS games, a Game Boy Advance game, and a GameCube game. I believe if we're comparing this, then there would have been two Wii releases at this point. But so right now 2006 is winning, and I think I don't think it's really that much of a surprise to say that 2006 will likely win.
It's a pretty banner year for DS. Yeah. It's not quite as big as 2005, which I think is the best year for DS games, but it's pretty close behind.
Yeah. There are definitely some big hitters on DS. It was not the Nintendogs year, but it was the follow-up year to that, which kind of reaped the benefits. But the next one is a Game Boy Advance title that I didn't realize Nintendo published, and that's Tales of Phantasia. It came out on March 6th. Namco Bandai series, the Tales series, a Super Nintendo game that was ported to Game Boy Advance.
Right.
I've never played this game, but I did not know that Nintendo published it.
Me neither.
And there's a couple of those on this list that it seems like, wow, I didn't know Nintendo published that.
Yeah, they published some of the later Final Fantasy games on Game Boy Advance, one of which we'll get to later, and one which I think might have been the last Game Boy Advance release, or one of them, the last notable one at least, which was Final Fantasy VI Advance, which I think came out sometime in 2007. The next game on the list, it's a twofer. On March 20th, 2006, about roughly 6 years before Kid Icarus Uprising came out, marking the first 3DS retail game in 2012, we had Metroid Prime Hunters and Tetris DS hit DS, which is a hell of a lineup.
I don't know.
A good game.
One of those games is amazing, and the other is not good. And the one that is not good is the Metroid one, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Because it is not a Metroid game.
Yeah, because it is not.
it's a first-person shooter.
It's a bad version of Quake Arena with the Metroid skin on it. And you can turn into a Morph Ball. But yeah, Tetris DS is a game that I still play. Like today, like it's in my little card case of, you know, like the 3DS card case. The only two DS games I have in there are Picross 3D and Tetris DS.
Nice.
Tetris DS game or Tetris it's so DS good. was a game that I missed.
Me too. I wish I had it.
It is so good, and it's very hard to find now because it was a weird publishing. Well, like THQ developed it and Nintendo published it.
Yeah.
And Nintendo had licensed like every character under the sun to THQ for this game, so it's like you're playing Tetris, but you're also going through like a really old school Nintendo like road trip at the same time. So it's got a lot of really unique modes. It's got the the one mode, I think it's called push mode, where it's a head-to-head battle, except instead of like normal Tetris where you're sending each other garbage, every time you clear more than one line, there's a middle line, basically, and one player is playing from the top and the other is playing from the bottom.
Oh, that's really cool.
You always view it from the top on your screen. But so every time you clear more than one line, you push the whole stack down one in his direction, and every time you clear more than two lines, you push it down two. So, and your opponent's doing the same thing. So the idea is to play really, really quick and just slam your, like, push your opponent over the line and make them lose. Because they've got, like, a goal line at the end where if their stack piles up too high, if it's their kill line, then they die. So not only are they trying to stack blocks falling from the top, you're also pushing them closer to the top at the same time. But it's more head-to-head because you're working against the same stack. It's really incredibly cool, and I played it a lot at PAX the year later, because everyone brought their copy of Tetris DS yeah. to PAX every year, forever.
And Metroid Prime Hunters was actually a game that I just completely passed on based on the first Hunt demo that came with the DS. Because I enjoyed playing that, but then I was just like, I don't want to play this fully. That was back when I really could not, I did not want to get adjusted to a first-person shooter on the DS, because it was always awkward for me as a lefty.
I got this game too. I was not going to buy it, and then I was at the store buying Tetris, and I was like, fuck, I'll just buy it. Because like three or four of my friends were getting it, and I was like, well, I can play it with them. Maybe it'll at least be fun. It's not fun.
No.
Don't do it. They stopped playing it. I stopped playing it like immediately.
Yeah. Despite it not being fun, I, for some reason, beat the whole thing.
It supported online also, right?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and I was kind of interested in that, like, ooh, online on my DS.
Tetris DS was also online, right?
Yes. Yeah. That was another awesome feature of
it. Because I guess this was the second big wave of Wi-Fi games after Mario Kart.
I would hop on Tetris DS and just own people in that push mode.
So the next game is one of the final GameCube games from Nintendo, and that's Odama, which is the weird Yute Saito game that it was on Amazon for, I think, like $8. So I got it last year and tried playing it. It's a game where you plug in a microphone to the memory card slot, and then you shout orders to roll a ball, and it's kind of like some kind of weird real-time strategy pinball game.
Yeah, when this game first came out, when this game first came out, I seem to remember playing it with the bongos.
In
its original incarnation.
Yeah, it used the bongos and the microphone, or I think it used the microphone and the bongos, maybe.
Yeah, there was a microphone in the bongos, so you would play with the bongos and then shout orders also, but when they ended up coming out, they stripped the bongos out of it, I guess probably because they had no one owned the bongos, and they just used the microphone, because they could pack the microphone in for not that much money, because they only cost like $2 or whatever to manufacture. It was not as good. I played it with the bongos, and I was like, this is pretty fun at E3, like whatever year it was. And then it came out, and I was like, I'm probably not going to get this now that it doesn't support the bongos. And the reviewer, I forget which of us had reviewed it, but they had also played it with the bongos, and they were like, yeah, this kind of sucks without the bongos. Why did they not just leave the support in there for people that had it and then just make it playable with the microphone for everyone else?
Yeah, I kind of agree. Because that's the thing, is I'm pretty sure the support for the bongos was taken out, because I remember having that same sensation when I played it the other year.
Something's just missing, because it wasn't built for just your voice.
Yeah. It came out on April 10th. And the next week, on April 17th, the other April release was Brain Age, which, if you think about that, within a month span, you had Metroid Prime Hunters, Tetris DS, and fucking Brain Age.
That's crazy. I still have Brain Age.
I didn't get the first one. I got the second one, which came out in 2007. But I was always interested by Brain Age, and this was kind of I don't know if it was the start, but it was in that direction of the Touch Generation games, which are filled throughout anything that came out in 2006 to 2007.
Yeah, this game was all right. I think I reviewed it. No, I didn't. I must have gotten it for something else. Maybe I reviewed Brain Age 2. But yeah, I mean, it's all right. I ended up, whichever one I got, I ended up playing it and then giving it to my mom, because she had played Professor Layton on my DS, and then I'd bought her a DS for Mother's Day or something, because she really wanted to play the other Professor Layton games. And I ended up giving her that and, a couple other games along with it, just that I wasn't playing anymore that I knew she'd like. My mom is a puzzle game fanatic.
Right on.
She could beat me and all of my friends in Tetris Attack when we were kids. She would just wipe the floor with us. I always thought that was funny.
So the next big, well, I guess there's one release that's worth noting that came out in Japan only on April 20th in 2006, and that's Mother 3 for the Game Boy Advance, which that, along with another release, the August 3rd release of Rhythm Tengoku, were, you know, two of the final Nintendo-published games for Game Boy Advance in Japan, and both, because they were released so late in Japan, were never brought over to North America, and that's pretty much, as far as I know, the official reason why we never saw Mother 3 or Rhythm Tengoku localized, was because by the time they came out, it wouldn't have been an option to localize them. I mean, the DS was out for 2 years. So,
yeah.
What are you going to do? The next game that came out, which was right around E3, I believe right after, which kind of made E3 a little weird because it was that kind of thing where, you know, this giant-ass game was coming out right around E3, and that's New Super Mario Brothers for the DS, which is kind of humorous because we're seeing the sequel to that game come out on 3DS just a few days ago in North America, and almost a month ago in Japan. But so, Mike, you were at this E3.
Yes.
How was it?
This E3 was a good E3. I mostly remember for playing Wii for the first time. And I remember because Nintendo had moved there, press conference had, like, it was at the Biltmore the first year I went in 02. And then for like the next couple of years after that, it was usually at, the Nokia, not the Nokia Theater. It was at, the Kodak Theater where they do the Oscars, but it was above, except for this year when the Wii came out. All the years in between, it was at the, there's a big, like, ballroom, like a giant ballroom above the Kodak Theater on the roof of it. So that's where they held their conference every year until this year. They brought out the big guns. They were like, fuck it, we're going in the Kodak Theater where the Oscars are, and we're going to do our press conference there. And it was cool because I remember, like, oh, I was sitting so close and I bet someone famous sat in my seat. it was, like, a really big deal, and they brought out the Wii, and, like, the first thing I think they showed was Red Steel. The first thing they must have shown was Wii Sports, right?
It was Wii Sports was the first game.
First announced game, yeah. But I remember they made a big deal of Red Steel, and they had, like, this is the E3 where they had, like, all the guys on the stage, like, waving the nunchucks around, like, making them look really cool. And
overactive.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a big deal. And then, like, the lines to get in and play were massive. Thank God we still knew some people. Well, I guess we still do, but we knew a lot of people at Nintendo back then.
Yeah.
So they would just, like, they just put us on the list and let us cut the line for the whole thing. So props to them. I think Jeff Callis was still working for them at the time. Now he works for Penny Arcade. So thanks, Jeff, for letting me cut that, like, 4-hour line to play the Wii. Because it probably made my, like, year that year to do that. It was because it was so cool. You were playing all these games for the first time and you were like, oh, this one's so cool. And oh, this one's so cool. And this, I can't believe they thought of this idea. And, like, and you got to play Twilight Princess on it. And I played Twilight Princess the year before. And I want to say it was even at the year before that also.
But no, maybe I'm wrong. I think it was revealed definitely in 2004. It was playable in 05.
Playable in 05. Yeah. So I played it in 05 on the GameCube and I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. But then they let us play a new section of it. It was the section where you're in the mine.
Yeah.
Because that uses a lot of, yeah, that used a lot of, like, the cool nunchuck and, like, Wii Remote things that they'd strapped onto it. And I remember that was really fun. And it was also the same year, same thing happened with Mario, with Mario Galaxy. It was the first year we got to play it, and we got to play it again in 2007.
Yep.
It's always cool when a game shows up at two E3s like that, because you get to play it, like, twice and see how much it's really grown. But yeah, it was a really good year for E3, and I remember just walking away being really impressed and being like, I'm buying one of these motherfuckers at launch, like, at midnight, because it's gonna, that was the point where I was convinced they are gonna sell a zillion of these things.
You were right.
And I was right. I was right to wait in line at that Target and get mine at midnight, because otherwise it would have been months.
Did the exact same thing. I waited outside in a Target at midnight to get mine.
Thank God in Florida, it was really easy. Like, it was like, I think the low that night was like 50 degrees or something.
I remember being bundled up, like blankets and shit. It was rough, but
I was bundled up too. We're not used to 50 degrees down here.
but it is interesting to hear you so positive about it, because it really is, I mean, it's almost
hopes were so high
to the Wii U this year, where, I mean, I still remain excited, and there are people that still are pretty damn excited for this thing. I mean, I guess more than Nintendo enthusiasts, not necessarily the mainstream world.
I will be markedly more or less excited on September 13th. I just don't know which direction yet.
Yeah. just so people are aware, we found out today that on September 13th, there will be a press conference or press event in New York City all about the Wii U. So we're going to get launch details then. So that is exciting. But, I mean, that's the thing, is that you have all this effusive praise, and, you know, maybe it's a little bit of rose-colored glasses looking back on it, but even still, I'm pretty sure back in 2006, people came away from E3 being like, the Wii is fucking rad.
Whereas we were like, the graphics... Yeah, the graphics kind of suck, but, like, this is, like, a game changer. Like, it really was a game changer.
And it proved to be so. Whereas with the Wii U, there's so much lukewarm attention towards it. Whereas, I would say I'm special in my excitement for it.
Yeah. But, well, I think, you know, a lot of the enthusiasm carries over. Most people were pretty excited for the GameCube, even if it's last year or so. Yeah. People still liked the GameCube. Like, it still had a lot of positive brand image, you know, and it just had a lot of good sentiment with the fans because there were so many good games on it. And then, like, so we were all like, yeah, we'll buy whatever's next because the GameCube was awesome. And that's not the case this time. Like, for the past, like, at least two, I would say even 3 years, like, most people have been like, yeah, we, like, great. Yeah. It was fun for like the first 2.5 years.
Yep.
Not anymore. So like there's no carryover enthusiasm at all, and they obviously there's nothing they can really do about that.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess they could have released more games for the Wii that people wanted to play, but hindsight is 2020.
They could have. But with the Wii U, like I just remember being at E3 and talking to people from other Nintendo sites, and we all just kind of had this like sense of dread almost after that press conference. It was so deflating, and it's definitely my spirits have picked up, and I can tell that a lot of other people's spirits have picked up as well, but definitely 2012 E3 is in no way comparable to 2006 E3.
Yeah.
But moving on to our next month, which is June, which is now the time of year that E3 comes out, we had another pair of releases on the same day on the DS, which is something that I feel like Nintendo never does now. But they released Magnetica, which is kind of like Zuma. It predates Zuma. And then Big Brain Academy, which was a DS spinoff of the Brain Age series.
Right.
That was the one I reviewed.
Ah, right.
And I also reviewed Magnetica.
You must have been a busy man.
I gave Magnetica a 5.5. What did I say? Let's see. So difficult that I find it hard to recommend not only to people that Nintendo is marketing it to with their Touch Generations line, but also to anybody else. I'm sure there must be a very few hardcore puzzle gamers out there who will relish in the extreme difficulty of this game. Everybody else will become frustrated to the point where they will almost certainly want to toss their DS against the wall. That was my summary.
And that is also how... That is also how you got a DS Lite, which also came out at some point this year.
Actually, I bought a DS Lite. My girlfriend at the time was in Japan, like the weekend it came out, and I was like, if I give you money, will you buy me a DS Lite from Japan? Because they have this really cool navy blue color that they're never going to release over here ever in a million years. And she got it, and it had a stuck pixel.
Oh.
And it still has a stuck pixel, even after running all that, like all those flasher things on it that are supposed to unstick pixels. Yeah, it didn't work. Oh, well. Now I have a 3DS.
Do you remember Big Brain Academy at all?
Yes, I gave this an 8.
Oh, wow. Pretty positive.
I'll read my last paragraph on this one. Big Brain Academy is much more of a game than its predecessor, Brain Age. Playing it feels more like fun and less like an exercise. There is a genuine drive to achieve higher scores, if only to find out that you might be as smart as Albert Einstein. The variety of minigames and random nature in which they are presented helps keep the games fresh, and even if you get tired of taking the test, the multiplayer versus mode is a bunch of fun, provided you have people to play with. Overall, it's a great game for anybody who's a fan of puzzle games or logic problems.
Nice.
Cool.
I remember, I think this had the multiplayer mode where it was competitive math solving. And apparently I thought that was a lot of fun.
once again, Nintendo going overboard with this Touch Generations line, Sudoku Gridmaster came out at the end of June. That was actually developed by Hudson, and it was published by Hudson in Japan, but Nintendo helped bring it to America. It is, if you could not tell, a Sudoku game.
Yeah, that was a big month for what? All three of those games were Touch Generations.
Yeah, and that was all in June. So
I remember that was a big year at E3. They were pimping that Touch Generations line like really hard. Like, we're gonna get your grandma to play video games.
And then
that's when it really started, I guess.
Yeah, and then in July, that was the only month of looking at this. Yes, the only month of the entire year that did not have a Nintendo published release, as opposed to this year where. Actually, no, I think they have been covered almost every month.
Well, eShop, it makes it easy for them to cover all of your month now.
I think June and July did not have a Nintendo published release. But because every other month did, except for January and July. So it's not as I thought it would be. Star Fox Command came out on August 28th, though, in a slot that Nintendo usually occupies with a decently sized game. And in this case, this year, a gigantic sized game with New Super Mario Bros. 2. Last year, it was actually another Star Fox game that kind of occupied this familiar end of August, early September space.
Yeah, it's a good place to put a mid-tier kind of game.
And this was actually Metroid Other M.
Metroid Other M came out this time of year?
Yeah.
I see Metroid Other M, to us, Metroid is like a top franchise, but
I'm just saying that it fucking bombed.
Oh, yeah, but it was still a mid-tier, a high mid-tier game, which is exactly what they usually put out this time of year, but Star Fox Command is not that game.
Yeah, it's not. I honestly was excited to play this game. I played it. I did not enjoy it too much. I didn't like the strategy as much. I just kind of, you know what I want in my Star Fox game? I want some animals talking, and I want to shoot shit and do barrel rolls. Honestly, all I want in a Star Fox game, and, you know, call me simple-minded in that regard, but that's why I don't hate Assault, because what did Assault give me? Some animals talking, and I shot shit and did barrel rolls.
German. German, German.
You're becoming more and more like your father.
Hey, Fox, get this guy off of me!
Alright, we should totally do a dramatic radio interpretation of Star Fox 64. Who's in favor?
Yes. Yeah.
Alright, we're done with this podcast. Gotta make room for the new podcast of Nintendo radio dramas.
We're doing that. During a dry spell at some point, we're doing that.
So, I don't know, next week.
We'll have to do Other M at some point.
Oh, God.
I don't think we could ham it up as much as they do in the show, the game.
True. But Star Fox Command, I mean, can't fault them for trying. I hope that we will get another Star Fox game soon that will be more in line with Star Fox 64 than Command. Hmm. In September, right before we found out about the Wii's launch details, we got another game on DS, which was Mario Hoops 3-on-3, which was developed by Square Enix.
I remember that.
That's right.
I never played this game. I
played it at E3 and thought it was lame.
Yeah, it seemed like it was really awkward control-wise.
Yeah, guess what? Square Enix probably should not make sports games.
Yeah, they do them every now and then.
Wasn't its big thing? There was like a coin rush mode or something. Everyone was talking about coin rush.
I don't remember.
Some other game. I remember the basketball itself was not the biggest deal about that game.
I do not remember much. I don't know much about this game. I did not play it. Nor was I following the industry as closely as I do now.
Of course, sure.
So then right around this time, there was a press conference in New York in mid-September. Sound familiar? and then we found out about the Wii launch details coming out on November 19th for $250, packed in with Wii Sports, etc., etc. And then shortly after that, there was another day with two Nintendo releases. On September 25th, Baiten Kaitos Origins came out on GameCube.
That's right.
Effectively being the last, GameCube
game.
The last GameCube exclusive Nintendo published game, because
GameCube exclusive, yeah.
Because Twilight Princess would come out in December. But that's from Monolith, the guys who would go on after this to work on Disaster Day of Crisis and then Xenoblade.
Nice.
That's quite
a resume.
Yeah. I never played the Baiten Kaitos series. I always heard good things, and I heard Origins kind of improved a little bit on the first one, which I think was a little bloated in some respects.
Didn't play it. By this point in time, I was firmly like not a fan of JRPGs anymore.
Yep, me. I'm the same way.
I went through a phase, just like everyone else.
Yeah, I'm slowly trying to get out of that phase. I have the last story unopened. And I'm working my way through Xenoblade more.
Let it be your last story, Neil.
It might be. And then I'll just be like, guys, I'm done the game. I'm dying. Peace out. The DS game that came out on the same day as Baiten Kaitos Origins was Mario vs. Donkey Kong 2 March of the Minis, which is the sequel to Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which is in itself the sequel to Donkey Kong 94.
Yeah, but
which in itself is a sequel to Donkey Kong, the original Donkey Kong.
But this game is nothing like those three other games.
Yeah, it's weird.
This was like the The first Mario vs. Donkey Kong had like interstitial levels where you like did this thing where you guided the minis through it.
Yep.
But this game was all that.
Yep. And there I don't know.
I didn't play it because I picked up. I got Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Like I either got it as a review or on a whim, and I was like, this will probably be only all right because it's another one of these silly Mario licensed games that not licensed, but it's another one of these like Mario filler games.
Yep.
The games the reason we did a segment about Mario fatigue the other week.
Yeah.
So I got it and just it blew me away. And I was like, oh my God, this is like pure platforming action at its like absolute most refined core. And then like just last year I played Donkey Kong 94 and I was like, no, wait, this is that. Mario versus Donkey Kong is a pale imitation of this.
Yep.
It's still very good, though. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, Mario didn't play this one. Does kind of change it a lot because it's a lot more Lemmings-esque. And I did not play this one, but I did play Minnie's March Again, the DSiWare follow-up, and I enjoyed the crap out of that game. I mean, it's not on the same level as DK94 or Mario vs. Donkey Kong, but it's still a very fun, you know, kind of puzzle platformer-esque game in its own right.
So Minnie's March Again does have that? That more of that Donkey Kong 94 platforming action?
No, Minnie's March Again is basically March of the Minis, but with new levels.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Whichever the hell the one is on Ambassador.
That's the original.
That's the original.
I like that one.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's like DK94.
Yeah. I was so happy when I found out it was going to be included in the Ambassador games, because I love that GBA game.
Yeah, I still need to play more of it. I just happened to... I don't know, it was just during a time where there were a lot of games going on and I started playing it and never went back to it. I will eventually, maybe on my big-ass 3DS XL.
Hell yeah.
So in October, on October 9th, we had, pretty much from here on out, there is a new game every week from October 9th to the end of November. And on October 9th, Clubhouse Games came out for DS, which I never played much of. I recall I was in Nintendo's office in New York. This would have been like 2010, and they had a DS with Clubhouse Games on it for some reason. While I was waiting, I wound up playing some Clubhouse Games, and
waiting in the lobby.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun game. I heard it, you know, it just had really good renditions of a lot of, you know, kind of token games, and there were some online components. A lot of them were broken down for DSiWare later on.
Yep, I remember that.
But yeah, so that's Clubhouse Gangs. Then on October 16th, and this barely counts as a new game, on the DS, Nintendogs Dalmatian came out, which was just another Nintendogs with some new dogs.
Next.
Yep. And then there was a DS game that came out on October 23rd called Magical Star Sign, which I believe was developed by Brownie Brown. Did anyone play that?
Did not. That's another JRPG, right? That was a JRPG, yeah. I think.
Yeah, but I feel like we just won't talk anymore about this game because none of us, we'll probably all get it wrong. It could be a JRPG.
I think I remember people really freaking out about it because I guess everyone is in love with Brownie Brown.
Yeah, well, it's a sequel to a Japan-exclusive Game Boy Advance title called Magical Vacation. And it's a Nintendo-published series. It's a game by Brownie Brown.
A game that exists.
Yes. On October 30th, another game that exists came out, and that's Pokemon Ranger for the DS. I mean, it's ridiculous looking at this list, because we'll extend it to, you know, the last week of August to the first week of November. There are 8 DS releases. Pretty much almost one every fucking week.
That's insane.
Then we had Children of Mana come out on DS, another Square Enix but Nintendo published joint. I'd never really gotten into the Mana games. Call me crazy, but Secret of Mana just seemed like a bunch of people saying Mana 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 to me. And I also went into that with the false hopes of being able to play 3-player right from the start. So that's probably what colors my kind of disinterest in that game a little bit.
Perhaps.
It's always one of those games that I've told myself that I should go back to and play, but I've just never gotten around to it. A few days after that, it was a pretty kick-ass day for handhelds, and that's Final Fantasy V Advance, which I think it was the first singular release of Final Fantasy V in North America. Came out as part of a PlayStation Collection. I don't know if it was Anthology or I think it was Anthology, because Chronicles had Chrono Trigger in it. And I think there was one with 5 and 6 and one with 4 on Chrono Trigger or something like that. But regardless, that's PlayStation stuff. Final Fantasy V Advance came out on the Game Boy Advance, published by Nintendo, developed by Square Enix. And on that same day, Elite Beat Agents came out on DS, which...
DS Game of the Year.
Yeah, probably.
For 2006.
There's a lot of good games on DS that year, but I think Elite Beat Agents takes the cake by far.
It's this in Tetris DS for me.
Yeah.
I need to buy that game.
Elite Beat Agents?
Yeah.
Oh, have you ever played it?
No.
Oh, wow.
Did you play Theater Rhythm yet, Zach?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Elite Beat Agents is a pretty excellent game.
Yes.
I did not get it.
Isn't it like Carl's favorite game of all time or something?
No, I think his favorite game of all time is Killer 7. Yeah. But Elite Beat Agents is up there.
Elite Beat Agents is actually a game that, I mean, maybe I'm the problem in that I did not get it when it first came out, but I wound up paying $5 for it at some point and really, really enjoyed it.
Well, I think I had already imported Uwenden at this point because I was playing it at E3 like every day that year.
Yeah, because I think...
every night before I went to bed, I was playing
Uwenden. I think Uwenden first hit Japan in 05. I could be off. It could have been early 06, but...
I think it was early 06.
It's also, I mean, it's in a very marquee spot. It's a November release.
Yeah, they were clearly putting a lot of force behind it.
The game that came out the week after that, which I guess would be their big fall DS game, although this isn't the same thing as this year, where really their big fall DS game came out in May in New Super Mario Bros. But Yoshi's Island DS came out on November 13th, which is a game that I think is really shitty.
Carl did give Elite Beat Agents a 10, by the way.
Okay. Oh, I do not argue with the man.
Yeah, I didn't play Yoshi's Island DS because I'd heard it was shitty.
Yeah.
But I guess they figured they could mount, you know, bank on Yoshi for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it was a game that I always wanted to play, but like you, I heard kind of lukewarm things, and I finally borrowed it from a friend the same time that I borrowed Super Princess Peach. And I was kind of amazed that one game I did not like that much, and that was Yoshi's Island DS, and I really liked Super Princess Peach.
Hmm.
All right, and to close out the year, we have the trio of Nintendo Wii launch games, and that's The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, which would it later come out on GameCube in mid-December, Wii Sports, and Excite Truck.
Excite Truck! As Johnny Metz lovingly calls it, Fuck Truck.
I honestly, I think Excite Truck, in my mind, will go down as a fantastic launch game and probably one of my favorite Wii games from the first year or so.
Yeah, it's it gets a lot of shit because it's not... It's a truck and not a bike. Honestly, if it was a bike and it was the exact same game...
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that's better than Excite Truck is Excite Bots, which...
Excite Bots rules.
There is a multiplayer mode called Poker Race where you need to collect cards to make a poker hand. Like...
Yep.
There are things
that's
where you
insane.
Need to,
I never
you
played
to,
it.
You need to run your truck that looks like a grasshopper and kick a football through uprights. There are times where you need to go along a path and collect ingredients to a sandwich to then collect a super sandwich. I think that ExciteBots is probably I know it was definitely in my personal top 10 for when we did that for the site, and ExciteBots.
Yeah, but we're talking about Excite Truck, guys.
Yeah. But
why? We could be talking about ExciteBots.
We'll get to that in another
video. Let's put
it
this way. If it weren't for ExciteBots, ExciteTruck probably would have been in my top 10 on the Wii.
ExciteTruck is really, really good. It's got that whole, that morph, like the ground deformation mechanic that no other game has really ever done that. It makes it very much in a way like a cousin to Burnout.
Yeah,
because it plays a lot with, because you have to do the same thing where you have to do risky maneuvers and stuff to gain like that boost up, and by doing stunts and things like that, and it rewards that by giving you more boost, so you can then deform the terrain and create bigger ramps to jump off of and do bigger stunts. It's like it kind of scratches that SSX itch a bit too.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I definitely get
that's
that.
Probably why I like it so much. I love SSX.
So yeah, that is a. The Nintendo year of 2006. I think that when we look back at 2006 compared to this year, I think that it's pretty... The DS soundly thumps the 3DS.
Oh, certainly.
At least from a Nintendo perspective.
Let's put it this way. There are more good... there are more good Nintendo-released DS games in this year than there probably will be Nintendo-released DS games entirely this year, including the bad ones.
Yeah, because, I mean, just going back over 2012 quickly, on the 3DS, we had Kid Icarus Uprising, Spirit Camera, Mario Tennis Open, we had New Super Mario Bros. 2, and then we'll have a slew of games throughout October and November. Crosswords Plus, Art Academy, Freaky Forms, Paper Mario, Professor Layton 5.
Yeah, well, this year's not as bad as I thought it was. Yeah. I'm just still bitter it's that Luigi's Mansion got delayed again. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the kind of thing where you look at how we have these months where it's like, guess what? Two games are coming out this day. And 2 weeks ago, yeah, we had another game released. Whereas here, it's pretty much you get one game a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, until like November when you probably get like two.
Yeah, in October, I think there's four or five 3DS releases. In November, there's only about two, but that's more to get out of the way the Wii U.
Though looking back on this year as a whole, you can definitely tell Nintendo was ready to launch the Wii. I mean, there's basically no GameCube games, and most of these DS games are, from a development end, are pretty low commitment.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
and there's a lot of Touch Generations games this year. Like, yeah, a ton of them, and they're all, like, not that big of a deal. And some of them were not even developed. You know, some of these other games that are big, like Children of Mana and Final Fantasy, guess what? Those were only published by Nintendo.
Yeah,
like, they didn't put any man hours into those games either. So,
looking at a lot of these 2006 releases, the only internal games, just kind of glancing at it, is, I guess, Metroid Prime Hunters was NST, New Super Mario Brothers. I think the Brain Age games would have been internal.
Yeah, but those are, you know, low commitment. Like, and they could have had interns working on those, basically.
Yeah, Mario vs. Donkey Kong 2 is another NST game. Clubhouse Games, I feel like that might have been a Hudson or someone. But, I mean, you don't really have a lot of big internal development on DS outside of New Super Mario Brothers. It's pretty much a lot of external.
Yeah, and Elite Beat Agents had already been probably developed in, like, 2005,
and that was by Innes, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a you know, a big thing to look at this year, is a lot of their stuff was more like second party releases, actually, and not a lot of first party stuff, because everyone was knee deep in Wii development, and we see that again this year, except they are not taking this strategy, or at least not as big of a strategy, of picking up these other developers' games and releasing
Very
them.
True.
In fact, they're doing the exact opposite by not releasing games and having other developers release them here instead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it seems so weird that they're taking an exact opposite strategy. Which, is it Last Story is the one that's being published by not Nintendo?
Yeah, the one that came out last week. Published by Xseed.
Yeah, but developed by Nintendo, or at least a Nintendo-owned developer.
Yeah,
Tower just isn't getting a localization,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they've got, you know...
The Last Story is by Mistwalker, which is, they made, what was it, Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon over on 360, right. but The Last Story was a Nintendo-funded project.
Yeah, so they're doing the exact opposite. They've got more games, they've got no games coming out, and this year they probably released too many games because most of them weren't being developed by their own team.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do that strategy this year? I don't know, maybe it's because they don't have as much money in the bank, and they can't afford to do that and buy up all these little games to release them.
Well, I think they have enough money.
It seems unlikely, though. They do have tons in the bank.
Yeah, it's more that they don't want to spend the money that they do have in the bank.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, that's the kind of thing where you just... I have noticed this lately with Nintendo, is that they do a lot more kind of focusing on one game that's coming out, and that is, like, the game that they are focusing on this month. And you look at that during August, they literally... It is the month of Mario, according to Nintendo PR.
Yeah.
This entire month is focused on one game.
Yeah, in 2006, they were, you know, they were doing instead they were very much spreading it over brands like Touch Generations. Like, we've got like half a dozen games to release in this brand, and they were very, you know, focused on the brand instead of just the one franchise.
And you still had it split up more, but it seemed like in 2006 there was a lot more of, we're releasing a variety of games for a variety of people, whereas this year it's kind of like, we're releasing these games. If you're a true Nintendo fan, then you better get every one, because that's like, we're only going to give you one every couple weeks.
Yeah.
One a month, even.
Yeah, except for October and November, which they do. They are going to release a lot more. It's just, I mean, that is a discussion for another time, our thoughts on the fall 3DS lineup. If you want to hear more of that, Scott and I did a Connectabytes last week. So listen to that.
Road of Princess.
Coming out on October 9th.
Woo!
But yeah, so that is that Nintendo year. We'll likely do another one of these sometime soon, on probably 2001. Let us know what you think. You can write to us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, or you can leave a comment on this episode. You can also hit me up on Twitter at NRON10. If you have any feedback on the episode, I would love to hear it, or at least on this specific segment, I would love to hear it, because this is something that I put together, and I want to try to make it the best it can be. Yeah, we might go to other years after we're done the launch years. So we'll see how this all goes.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today, we have Neil Ronahan.
Hi.
And JP Corbin.
Hey, everybody.
And we're just going to talk about a little bit of everything.
We're going to talk about stuff.
Yeah, just whatever
Nintendo stuff
comes to mind. It's been a big week for Nintendo, both good and bad, and we're just going to address a few things. We've got a letter or two that we wanted to talk about. But before we talk about any of that, I wanted to share a little story with you guys. I tweeted this the other night, but it was kind of late, and I think maybe most people didn't see it, but I still crack up just thinking about it, so I wanted to share it with you guys. On Facebook, Tabby was showing me her sister's wall and a recent status update, and her sister was kind of like complaining about life and said that it was a, said that life was
a
doggy dog world, as in like Snoop Doggy Dog. So not dog eat world, but doggy dog world, and it continuously just makes me laugh because it loses all meaning. Like, what does doggy dog world mean to her?
Are there two dogs?
Yeah, are we just all a bunch of dogs just doing dog stuff?
Yeah, you know,
could be analyzed endlessly.
Yeah, so I still it just makes me laugh so much. A doggy dog world, and I can't help it. But anyway, let's talk Nintendo, shall we?
All right, so back on Sunday. We had a big North American thing where the 3DS XL was available and New Super Mario Bros. 2 was available for download. Oddly enough, at midnight Eastern time, 9 p.m. Pacific Saturday, which was kind of cool. I didn't think it would actually be out then. I figured it would be out midnight Pacific time.
Right. Yeah, a very, very pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I was shocked by that. I was like, really? Somebody saw the email. I'm like, wow. That was great.
Neil, you already have the physical copy because you reviewed it.
Oh, no, actually, I had the download copy. We got a download code for the review.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, JP, would you download
it? I downloaded it, yeah.
Yeah, same here. Actually, I went out to a, like, 24, they're called Meijer out here in the Midwest. I don't know if you guys have Meijer where you are.
My sister goes to Notre Dame. I've been there before.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you know how it goes then. It's basically
it's a nice
huge,
place.
giant, like, 24-hour grocery store slash, like, department store,
I guess. Is that the Fred Meijer that Zach took me to when I was in Alaska?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I bought Kingdom Hearts 3D there.
There you go.
It's a nicer Walmart. So
I rolled up there at, like, 12:30 at night, and they had the 3DS XLs all loaded up in the cases, so I bought a red one and brought it home and system transferred and downloaded Mario all in about, like, an hour.
Not a bad deal. The system transfer, like, kind of freaked me out because, I don't know, I had a kind of a bad experience with the DSi to 3DS one because I did it at TYP's house during E3, and, like, it was basically, you know, six dudes on one internet connection trying to get their stuff to work, so, and I had, like, I don't know, 60 DSi games or something like that, so it took a while for it to transfer. So I was expecting that same thing, but it really was kind of painless. It probably took about 20 minutes, but because it doesn't actually transfer everything that's on the SD card, basically it just makes the it makes everything on the SD card then work on the 3DS XL, which is a exactly. really nice touch, because then the only stuff that really needs to get transferred over is like the Street Pass content and activity log, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually a very smooth process. You know, I had the same experience. I just opened them both up and let it roll, and yeah, same thing. About 20 minutes, 25 minutes maybe, and then I was good to go. Started downloading Mario, which was amazingly only about 10 minutes long.
Yeah, I actually downloaded it because I got the code more or less 15, 20 minutes after I landed on the ground in Philadelphia on my way back from Alaska. So we stopped somewhere to eat. I looked it up on Yelp on my phone, saw it had Wi-Fi, went there, downloaded Mario while I was waiting for my food, and it took like 15, 20 minutes over public Wi-Fi for it to download. Oh,
not bad. And again, yeah, it's also oh yeah, go ahead.
I downloaded it, well, because I was, for whatever reason, I was going to bed relatively early, so I was going to bed soon after it came out.
You go to bed?
Apparently, sometimes I do. On very rare occasions. But anyway, I was going to bed, and so what I just used the download later function, so which I love. I basically download everything on the eShop that way. So I bought Mario, used download later, closed the 3DS, put it in the cradle, and I had it in the morning. So that's just a great way to do it. I like it.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a very smooth process, all in all. I mean, which to me was a little surprising, you know, especially at least downloading it that night. I thought a lot of yeah. people would be doing it. I'd heard there was trouble, like, in Japan and Europe with, like, maybe, like, more than expected, like, server hittage and stuff. But it was just, like, perfect. I was very impressed. I mean, if Nintendo keeps doing this, you know, day and date releasing digitally as well as physically, I think it's a very good thing.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm in a spot, whether I was at NWR or not, where, you know, Mario game comes out, I'm going to buy it. I'm not getting rid of it.
Right.
So, like, you know, for the big 3DS fall game, Paper Mario, like, I will likely download that because it's not like I'm going to get rid of Paper Mario. I mean, the only thing that I right. feel like I lose from downloading it is, you know, not getting the hard copy, which, I mean, I'm a little bit of a collector at heart. And also right. Not being able to lend it to anyone. That's kind
yeah,
of a bummer.
That's, because I think the main thing.
Yeah, I finished up New Super Mario Bros. 2, you know, for the review, and I got all the Star Coins, ironically, on Saturday. So it was pretty much like right before the game came out in North America, I was basically done with it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I should lend it to my friend. And then I was just like, I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the 3DS XL a little bit. JT, I know you don't
gorgeous.
Have one yet.
I don't.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it really, like, we were talking before we started recording, but this summer I haven't really played a lot of 3DS. I don't know if it's just, like, lack of games that, like, interest me or what, but it just really hasn't been my system of choice. But now having the XL, it's like, all I want to do is play the 3DS. It's just so comfortable, and it's just a really great revision, like, across the board.
Yeah, it is really, it's beautiful. Like, I love the form factor of it now. The screens are gigantic, although I was showing it to Lauren, and almost immediately, like, on the home screen, she's like, well, that doesn't look like it was made for that, because you can tell, like, some things are a little pixely, like, when it just has that little folder icon on the top screen.
Yeah.
You're like, that could look better, you know, that's totally blown up, but I've never really been a person that's been bothered by that kind of, I guess, like, graphical distortion. Like, for example, I think people were saying that, like, Pokemon Black and White looked like absolute shit on the 3DS when it first came out. To me, mm-hmm. didn't give a crap.
Yeah, that's right. The thing. That's mm-hmm. the only DS game I think I've spent any real time with on the 3DS, and I didn't have an issue with it. I mean, it's blown up, it doesn't look quite as good, but it's not really a problem. So
yeah, right. I mean, I was the person on the Game Boy Advance, when I put an old Game Boy game in there, I would just, you know, hit the L trigger to have it widen out to the full widescreen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
It just didn't really bother me that much. Like, and, you know, sometimes, I mean, maybe depending on the game, I would tweak it, but for the most part, that kind of visual thing, it's something that I can easily overlook, as long as it doesn't look too egregious, which I haven't really run into that problem with any of the stretching on the 3DS.
Right. Now, I haven't messed with any DS games on the XL, but I hear, like, a lot of people say that you should play them in the original resolution.
Although,
it is kind of ugly on the 3DS XL, but I haven't seen it.
Well, with the bigger screens on the 3DS XL, then you have a bigger one-to-one space that you can look at for the resolution. So while I found the original DS games in 1:1 to be super, super tiny on the 3DS, mm-hmm. on the XL, it's a more reasonable size. And that's the same thing with like the Game Boy games. It's way better now to bring them up in the Game Boy emulator overlay because it's a lot bigger. It feels more true to life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really great. I would really recommend anyone consider picking one up. And in fact, if you need a little extra money, I just sold my 3DS along with the CirclePad Pro on eBay for $108.
Nice.
So that's pretty good, I thought. Yeah, no games or anything. I've got the box and the manuals, and obviously I'm going to send the cradle and the SD card. And yeah, I just threw the CirclePad Pro in there, and I started it at $80, and it finished today at $108.
Yeah. So. Or you could do what I did and not be a greedy bastard. And I ended up selling it to my to Lauren's boss's son, or I guess Lauren's boss, who then gave it to her 5 or 6 year old son. And that was pretty nice because then it's kind of, you know, passing gaming on. And as far as I know, the kid's fucking stoked to have it.
Well, we're not all sort of rolling in that one-up freelance money that you are, Neil.
To be and fair, then, I sold it to him and included a copy of Tetris Axes that I got during the Best Buy sale because it was $10. And I heard that he wanted Tetris, and I was just like, they ain't finding it for $10. So I just got that, and I sold it to them for $70. So it wasn't really that much of a difference.
I bought
it was just the
Tetris
kind of thing
Axes.
Where I totally could have gotten more for it. And I was just like, yeah, I'll just give it to this kid.
Yeah, well, that's not bad. But I'm just letting people know that if they're interested, I think you can make up about half the price just by selling your old 3DS if you, you know, do it right.
I don't know. I would... If it weren't for the Wii U, I'm saving money for the Wii U, and I really... There's so much there I want, so I probably won't get one now. But other than that, if that weren't here, I probably would have one by now.
Yeah, well, what worked for me is I got hella school loan money this semester because I just had a baby, so I was able to claim her. So I got this, like, killer ass Pell Grant. So like I got a ton of money, enough where I can get this and like definitely reserve Wii U when that finally gets announced and stuff. So
hey Tegan, thanks.
Yeah, you're killing it. Thank you.
keep on rolling in the green, baby.
And I guess real quick to speak of again of the quality of the 3DS XL before we move on. I picked mine up, you know, that night at midnight, and then the next morning my girlfriend was playing with it. And, like, really enjoyed it. And I bought her a 3DS for Christmas that she didn't really like, and I ended up selling it to Nate on staff.
Which worked out.
Yeah, for actually pretty cheap. I gave him a pretty good deal. But, yeah, but she liked it so much that we went out that day, and she bought one for herself as well. And now we play Mario together, which isn't actually that great of an experience. But that's a conversation for another time, maybe. Unless we want to talk about Mario, but I think we've done that a lot lately.
Well, we can talk a little bit about Mario. I mean, I wrote the review. I don't really have too much more to say other than I thought it was a ton of fun. I put 15 hours into it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and JP, I know you're really high on it.
I am, like, probably too high on it.
I would say yes.
I am. I'm like, as I said to Neil, I am a sucker for when Nintendo just goes back to Super Mario Bros. 3.
Which they have now done 2 years in a row.
Yes, and they're both fantastic, although last year's is much better than this year's. This game, like, New Super Mario Bros. 2 is kind of a direct sequel to Mario 3 in a lot of ways. Really. I mean, it just takes a lot of the same power-ups, a similar kind of short, sweet level design kind of thing. I don't know. I really love it. I think it's a really great game. Though I've been high on the game since E3. I was like one of the only people to come out of E3 with high expectations for this game.
You said that like 8 times, and every time you do, there's someone who went to E3 that's like,
you
well,
did. People.
Aaron also said that too.
People. Okay. Not. But I remember talking to people at the time who were like very disappointed with that game.
That's maybe just, everybody Johnny talks a lot. Like,
yeah, that's probably part of
him
it,
and Guillaume are on RFN. If they talk about it and they're not too high on it, well, actually, I think Guillaume liked it. Not that I don't remember. That was like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I'll say
anyway. I like it. I've always liked it. It's really good. If you're on the fence, maybe you should think about it.
As a single player experience, it is actually rather good. I think the level design shines really well, even within the first like world, which usually is just like super basic and non-inventive. But even in the first world, you have some interesting things going on in the later levels. And so it's really well designed that way. I'm kind of bummed because I feel like a lot of it was just like slapped together. This will be coming up in like a staff feature that should be posted in the next few days. But I feel like someone at Nintendo just, like, spun a slot machine and then pulled the lever, and, like, it just stopped on, like, a group of levels,
and
this
coins.
Weird new coin mechanic, and then, like, a kind of half-assed multiplayer mode, and then, like, it was like, okay, let's just slam it all together.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but the one thing that, I mean, I kept on being impressed by the level design, and it's really creative.
It really
is. And you can, I mean, that's the kind of thing is, like, the level design shows itself to be even stronger as you get to looking for some of the hard-to-find star coins and looking at the secret exits, because there's
secret exits, yeah.
There's so many nooks and crannies in these levels. And also, the other thing is that because of the coin thing, when you reach a dead end, there's usually some absurd coin reward, which in most games, I'd be like, oh, shit, okay, maybe I'll get an extra life. But here, I'm like, okay, I can get more to the total. And I know for a fact that the million coin reward is pretty much bullshit.
Is it?
I'm not going to say what it is, but from what I've heard is that, like, if you are striving to get the million coin reward because you want to be rewarded, get ready to be disappointed. If you want to do it just because, you know, you're enjoying the game, then yeah, go for it. It's totally a nice milestone to keep you going. But when I would find those big coin depots in the game, it would be great because I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get closer to a million coins, which I may or may not ever hit.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
No, right. Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, if I'm going to get a million coins, which is high on the game as I am right now, I may end up doing, I'm going to do it just to do it, because I know what I'm going to get is going to suck, and it's not going to be anything.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it just to say, I got a million coins. You know, that's what it would be for me.
And, right. And I mean, with the coin rush and everything, like, if you get to the right level, you know, getting something like 5,000 coins a run in three levels is piss easy. And it just kind of, you need to dedicate yourself to kind of going through that, finding a set of three levels where you get a big cash out and just do that a lot.
I just wish there, I mean, like, not to beat a dead horse, but I just wish there were an online component of that. Because I would love to battle you for high scores in Coin Rush.
Yeah, I would play it a lot more. Like, right now, like, honestly, I'm done for this game, done with this game for a while. You know, I put a lot of time into it. Like, I don't regret it at all. You know, it's a great game, but it's just that, like, I'm not going to get to a million coins, and there's nothing really bringing me back. I hope the DLC, whenever that comes out, that kind of does its job, and it's like, you know, the new levels look really fun, and I want to go back to it.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, the level design is really good. I mean, I think, you know, this is a different team, but I think the level design has improved with each new Super Mario game. So, I wasn't too high on you coming out of E3, but I'm interested to see what happens. I mean, like,
yeah,
I know
these kinds are
rehashes to an extent, but they're really well-made rehashes.
The one thing that always bothers me with this, and you bring it up, I mean, you bringing up Super Mario Bros. 3, kind of like, you know, this being a follow-up to that, in a sense, that doesn't really ring as true to me, because I was watching a friend of mine kind of run through Super Mario Bros. 3 the other week, actually as I was playing this. And, you know, the first couple worlds in that game are pretty much, you know, it's, you know, grass world, there's a water level, there's, you know, the desert area. But then you get to the really weird shit, like the giant world, the sky world and everything.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I feel like the new Super Mario Brothers series kind of falls short for me, is in that world variety. And that's when people bring up that complaint, I'm like, okay, I kind of get the fatigue.
I get that, yeah.
Because
I mean, like, I would love to see another giant world.
In all three Super Mario Brothers games, they all have more or less the same world themes. And that's kind of disappointing, because you went from, like, Super Mario World just has, like, oh, the theme of this one? A bridge. Chocolate. Like, there's just, like, weird, crazy shit, and everything in these games, the world seems so safe. Like, I did really enjoy, the spider webs in the one like poison area. I don't remember if that was in, that might have been in DS, I don't know, but like that was
the DS
cool.
One had those games.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The DS one had that one.
So that, okay, yeah, there isn't even an exception to it.
Yeah, it's like they play it safe in terms of the themes. I never thought the themes were all that important, except in cases like the giant world where it's a huge part of the level. But
why can't we just have another giant world?
Yeah.
That shit was awesome.
It was very cool, yes. That was, as a kid, that was always my favorite world in Super Mario 3.
It blew my mind when I got to that.
Exactly. And just a word before we move on about the multiplayer mode. If anyone out there is thinking of buying it specifically for that, I would really, like, tell you to maybe not... that
See, I'm pissed that it doesn't have the multiplayer from the first DS game.
Oh yeah,
which was that may be the best two-person multiplayer I've ever played. If you just have two people, there are games like if you have like four people that are better. But if it's just one-on-one, that's one of the best one-on-one multiplayer games I've ever played.
I mean, that's really where it seems like New Super Mario Bros. Wii even came from, was that multiplayer in New Super Mario Bros. DS.
And look at that, back on the DS, they could have a level where two characters could run around separate from each other. I guess that technology didn't transfer to the 3DS.
Yeah.
I will just say that it's a shame because, like we're talking about, the levels really encourage exploration. And so, you know, you see something where you know there's just got to be something over there and you want to go, you know, go check it out. But because you're, like, handicapped and you have to share a screen with the other player, like, if you do that, most of the time you're just leaving the other player to die. So then they come back in the bubble and they're tiny, they've lost their power up, and, like, it just becomes kind of a headache where you're just constantly apologizing for, like, hurting or killing the other player because you see something. And a lot of times in the later levels, you don't have time to just, like, plan to go to it. It's like maybe you're, like, in a jet stream underwater and, like, you see this pipe that you have to, like, like get right on, or, you know, you have to hit a block that'll stop you so you can go a different way. And, like, it really kind of sucks. It really does. It just, even if the screen zoomed out a little bit, but I really think both players should just be able to kind of, like, go off on their own and explore the levels.
And I mean, I think one thing about this game is that this is a game where it's really easy to judge the game for what it's not, because it doesn't do the online stuff and it doesn't do the multiplayer very well, and it's not that adventurous. So it's easy to kind of put it down for that. But if you really just look at what's there, it's really well made, really good level design. It's Mario. It's the same kind of thing, but it's still Mario and it's still really good.
Right, you're absolutely right. Okay, it kind of reminds me of probably about a month ago now when we talked about The Dark Knight Rises. Like, as a movie, I wasn't, like, blown away by it, and it didn't really do anything for me the way that The Dark Knight did, but it was still a good movie, and it lent itself to a lot of conversation, which I think this game does. It's not perfect, but it's still good. I mean, it's not a bad game. It falls in a few places, but it's certainly not bad. And as a single-player game, I mean, it's really good. It really is. And I love playing it on my new 3DS XL. So.
You heard that, everyone. New Super Mario Bros. 2 is as good as The Dark Knight Rises.
Depending on your opinion of that movie.
I mean,
okay.
I made the comment in my review that this is a game that I think deserves to be mentioned in the same breath. Not quite as good, but, you know, definitely close to, you know, the greats in the side-scrolling Mario line. Super Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario World. They don't hit those highs, but, you know, it's a great game.
It's in the same discussion. It's not on the level. I mean, I know I'm famous for not liking World, but I appreciate that it's a well-made game, and I love Super Mario 3. This game's not as good as those games, but it's in that discussion. It's in the ballpark, and those are so good that, really, this is definitely worth playing.
I'm interested to see how it's remembered after New Super Mario Bros. Wii U comes out.
I definitely
agree.
Or
New Super Mario Bros. U. Yeah.
I mean, it is the kind of game that I wonder what the popular sentiment is going to be. Is it going to be like New Super Mario Bros. DS, where it seems like everyone retroactively hates that game, myself included?
I don't hate it.
It just, even at the time, it was a game that I played to completion, and then, like, I didn't have the will to go back and get the star coins. I just didn't really want to play it again. I didn't really enjoy it as much. It was just kind of like I played it and I was done. And I was like, okay, that was fun.
Last summer, I went through it again and got all the star coins. I'm like, it's a solid game. Unlike this game, I think this game has difficulty in places. That game is really easy. This game has difficulty. I mean, it's like it's not that hard, but the old games weren't that hard.
Yep.
Right. It's hard if you want it to be, like, if you want to collect everything, then it can be more difficult. So I appreciate that. I mean, there's no game over. You're not going to run out of lives. That's impossible. But it's difficult in the right places.
But it's a satire, guys. Don't you get it?
Yeah, is that it?
That's the way I look at it.
That would make more sense, really. That's a pleasant way to think about it. No, it's not a rehash. This is just it's a parody. Well, it's Mario, you know. That's what it is.
It's an homage.
There you go.
But I mean, the stuff with the lies, really, to me, that just reeks of satire. But we should talk about something else.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about Nintendo Power.
Oh man.
Wah wah wah.
I'm so bummed out now. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, so Nintendo Power is closed.
Yeah, well, they're still open. They're going to run until December.
Yeah. but it is closing. A lot of the staff's going to get repurposed and sent to other magazines.
I think that might be a load of shit.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
I'm not sure how many people are held over, but it seemed like from before they deleted all their tweets, the Nintendo Power staffers on Twitter did not sound like they were going to have a job at the end of all this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a bummer. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't read a Nintendo Power in quite some time. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily affect me now. Like, I know some people were tweeting, maybe it was even Guillaume, I think, like, just recently, like, renewed a subscription or just signed up for a subscription.
I feel bad. Mine lapsed an issue ago, and I didn't renew. It's all my fault.
It is. They missed their quota by one subscription.
I love
Mr. Neil Ronahan.
It was talking, like, the talk was that Nintendo didn't want to do a lot of the digital kind of stuff, which is... It's funny because, as I mentioned in another feature I think we've got going up soon, is like I was holding off. I was all ready to sign up as soon as I could get it on my iPad. And as soon as I didn't have to get it through the mail or could get it on the iPad as well, like, I would have signed up immediately once that was available. And now it turns out Nintendo was, like, actively fighting against that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the thing, is it seemed like Future just really wanted to go in that digital direction and... Nintendo did not want to, and I understand why both sides broke down, and it kind of sucks. But it kind of goes back to that whole thing that Nintendo has of kind of, I guess, controlling the message and bringing the discussion within their realm of control. I mean, look at what they've done over the years. You have Iwata Asks, where it's basically they interview their developers instead of members of the press doing it. Like, I mean, back in the day, I know Johnny's talked about this on RFN, you know, back like 5 years ago, we would get interviews with, you know, Nintendo developers. At this point, only the creme de la creme of the press get those interviews, and the rest of us just need to filter through Iwata Asks. Mm-hmm. And then, in addition to that, you have Nintendo's experiments with Nintendo Week and Nintendo Show 3D, where they are doing their weekly coverage of Nintendo news, and they're controlling the message.
Yep.
And then you have what they want to do with Miiverse, and what they've been doing to an extent with some stuff on the 3DS is that they are sending you messages, they are sending the player messages without having to go through other outlets. They're basically trying to cut out the middleman for a lot of these things. And then I guess the final point, and then I will stop talking for a little bit, is Nintendo Directs are the same kind of way, where instead of, you know, I guess, giving more time for people to discuss with them about what they're doing, they're just like, guess what? Here's 20 minutes about what we're doing. Bam. See you in 2 months.
I know. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Apple model, where, like, Apple doesn't really need to promote themselves through any other, like, media outlet. They just do their own thing, you know, once or twice a year. They hold a conference, well, I guess, once a year, and, you know, announce a bunch of shit. Everyone gets stoked, and then that's it. You know, like, they just work through themselves. They don't have to, you know, distribute their news through anyone. And I think Nintendo's trying to do that. I mean, like you said, like, through Nintendo Direct. I mean, the fact that they had at E3, like, basically three little conferences.
Yeah, they're trying to control the message.
Right.
I understand why that makes sense on their end. On my end, as a member of the press covering them, it's a pain in the ass. It really is. And then looking at them nipping Nintendo Power in the bud... Almost because, you know, one, they probably didn't want to have anything to do with an iPad with their magazine. And two, you know, I have a feeling that when the Wii U comes out, it might not be right away, but we will see some side kind of part of Miiverse that you'll look at that and you'll be like, man, Nintendo Power probably could have been like that. And, I mean, I think it won't be anything more than, like, you know, Nintendo Show Wii U and you know, some trailers and tweets being posted on Miiverse, but it is like that. I feel like there's missed potential of even folding Nintendo Power back into the company and having it be an integral part of the Wii U presentation.
But see, the problem, getting back to something Scott said, that Nintendo's trying to do something the way Apple does it, but Nintendo's not as good at it as Apple.
No, they're not.
Nintendo, no, definitely not. Nintendo wants to. You're right. Nintendo wants to be what Apple is, but they're not.
They very much do.
They're not that good. And, I mean, maybe it's part of it's the personnel. I mean, Reggie certainly isn't as charismatic as Steve Jobs was.
He wishes he was.
He does. I think he thinks he may be, but he's not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's Scott Moffitt.
We'll see. I don't know. But yeah,
Moffitt's basically Mr. 3DS right now. I don't know if anyone's noticed that.
Yeah.
like anything related to the 3DS dating back to, I guess, once the Wii U became a topic again, that's been all Moffitt territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Nintendo's not as good at it, but that's definitely the you know, the model they're trying to follow.
Well, they need to, like, they need to do a better job of it if that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting there. I do give them some credit.
They're getting better.
Yeah. And I do give them credit. I mean, they're doing something that the other, you know, big companies aren't doing, you know, Microsoft and Sony. And so, I mean, that's fairly forward thinking of them, considering, you know, we tend to think of Nintendo as sort of stuck in the past and, like, unwilling to change. They are doing some sort of inventive things.
But,
it's just whether or not the execution is always there. But I do have a question. Do we know with this Nintendo Power thing, did Nintendo just, like, cancel the contract, or were they, like, was the contract up at the end of this year?
As far as I can tell, 2007 was when, I guess, future Nintendo started this contract. I would assume it was a 5-year contract.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So probably was the kind of thing that they were getting to renegotiate, and I would assume that there was some kind of friction on each side as to, we want this, well, we want that, and they couldn't agree, and then it just got shut down. Because I didn't know that Nintendo licensed the Nintendo Power brand out. I thought, like, Future owned it, but...
I would have been surprised if Nintendo had sold it. Yeah. I mean, it seems like such a part of their history. I think they would have held on to that.
Well, now they're killing it, so...
Well, for now. I mean, if they own the brand, then they can bring it back.
There is a quote from Nintendo saying that the Nintendo Power brand is basically like, we're not relaunching it. It's done after this. And, I mean, it could come back in a number of years. But for now, it's dead.
This is Nintendo. That doesn't mean anything that they said they're not bringing it back. It could happen tomorrow.
I was going to say, okay, what's another thing that they said they're not bringing back?
I don't know. I'm going to bring it back, but Nintendo has publicly made statements that were incorrect, like, weeks later. You know,
was it at E3 that Reggie said or that there would be, like, no 3DS redesign in the near future?
That was Miyamoto, and I feel like the wording of that just makes me feel like, well, the 3DS XL is already done, so it doesn't count.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to find a way to make it so Miyamoto didn't lie.
But, like, no, in all honesty, exactly. Like, if you look at the wording, it was, we are not working on a 3DS redesign right now. Which is just kind of like, after finding out about the 3DS XL, like, that shit was done.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, they rolled it out rather quick. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, like, concept. It was done.
I think it's Miyamoto still being a little dickish with that comment. But, but I mean, like, I don't think people said he out and out lied, but if you look at the quote, he didn't really completely lie. It was just being facetious.
Yeah.
There's also, I've seen people try to explain it away as that the specific term they were using didn't apply to the XL. How the XL wasn't like a new version, it was just a second thing. It was a side thing.
Complimentary.
So.
Right. The 3DS will continue to exist.
Yeah.
Which is great, because now all the boxes will sit there with the XL, the 3DS, the DSi, the... Oh, geez. There's one more. The DSi XL, like, all just sitting there looking very similar to each other.
Well, you know what's funny?
They're still selling lights, aren't they?
No, I think lights might be done.
I think lights are gone.
The 3DS XL box is actually smaller than the 3DS box.
I noticed that.
It's so funny.
As I was prepping my 3DS to sell on eBay, I pulled the old box out of, like, my closet, and I was like, holy crap. Now, granted, the 3DS does have, like, the cradle and stuff in it. But still, like, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, pretty funny. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see with Nintendo Power. I mean, Nintendo owns the rights. It could show up. And, you know, I definitely think that if they wanted to go digital, just having it right on the Wii U for, you know, Wii U users to, you know, peruse and, you know, maybe even subscribe. Maybe it'll be part of their, like, if they ever want to charge for online access, like something, not online access, but like online,
totally,
I don't know, like,
do
bonuses, kind of like PlayStation Plus, you know, like it's, you have all your core, you know, usability, but if you want a little extra, you can be a member of, you know,
Nintendo
PlayStation
Power.
Plus. Yeah, call Nintendo Power. Why not? Yeah.
I can see that happening. I think it's just too valuable of a brand to just go away forever.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think it'll be gone for the near future.
For a few years, maybe. I mean, but it's not like it's going to come back at some point. I think it has to.
Just like the Nintendo Power Glove.
Yes. That's what the Wii Remote is. It's basically the same thing.
Essentially, it's so bad. So, we've got a letter We just got it. Well, not a letter, an email, I guess. I don't know if any of you got this in the mail today. But yeah, let's close with that. I'll go ahead and I will read this email for everyone. And it says, "Hey guys, I love both of the RFN and Connectivity podcasts."
Why, thanks.
Thank you very much. Luckily, we stole it. He sent this to both of us, RFN and Connectivity.
We probably both answered it this week. That would be
great. Yeah, probably. But we come up a day early, so yeah. RFN,
they stole
stop copying
us.
However, because they, when we're doing this, I believe they would have already been finished or close to it. I don't know. Are they on Skype still?
Yeah, they are. Right now. So
we're doing it simultaneously.
We could
be answering this question at the same time if they're doing listener mail this week.
All right, guys. I'll invite them into the call. Yeah. 1 second. All right, so here's the question. I got a question about the launch games for Wii U. What games do you plan on buying at the launch for Wii U? This will be my first Nintendo home console purchase on launch day. If you could choose 4 titles, which ones would you pick? Which titles aren't you interested in? Keep up the good work on both of the podcasts. My body is always ready when downloading and listening to them at work. From Reader, hey, it's me.
All right, okay. I guess to buy time for us to figure out our 4 launch titles... I just have to comment on how exciting it is to finally buy your first console on launch day. For me, yep. It didn't happen until the Nintendo DS, because up till that point, I would usually get consoles for like Christmas or something, or in the case of the Game Boy Advance, I wound up getting it like a month after it came out. But the DS was here to date the only console I've ever pre-ordered. I pre-ordered it at a GameStop about 2 weeks before it came out. And, you know, gleefully went to that GameStop. I felt like I was the only person that went and pre-ordered it. And then walked around the mall and managed to lose one of the 2 styluses that came with it while I was playing it.
That's amazing. I guess if we're sharing stories of this ilk. The GameCube, I guess, technically was my first. I pre-ordered it from GameStop online, and then they shipped it to me. And they actually shipped it to the wrong house, so I didn't get it for a few days. Because then the house was kind enough to, like... return it. So then I think it maybe went to my like local post office and sat there for like a day or two and then finally came to me. But I didn't buy that myself. My birthday is in November. So my mom like bought it for me and like pre-ordered it. So I'd get it like probably like a week or two before my birthday. But the Wii was the actual first one that I just like straight up bought myself. Yeah, I just reserved it at GameStop. I got that great voicemail from Reggie, like the night before it was supposed to launch, letting me know it'd be there sitting at GameStop, ready for me to go. I went in there and bought Zelda and Rayman, and it was awesome. Yeah, there's really something special about like buying your own console on launch day. It really is like it's a cool experience.
For me, the first console I bought at launch was not a Nintendo console. I was one of the few and the proud who bought a Sega Dreamcast at launch.
Hell yeah.
September 9th, 1999, bitches.
Never forget.
Gotta do it. And I bought that. I actually ended up selling my N64 to my sister in order to come up with the money. So I still had access to it. I still had the game. I could still play it. I still have it like over here. It's over here. I have
That's
it.
That's amazing.
But
the
I
biggest
got,
swindling I've ever heard.
It is. I don't know how I managed to pull it off, but I managed to do that.
She's younger than you, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, my brother couldn't get that shit past me. I just wound up with all of our NES games that we had together because he went to college and I just claimed it all for myself. It worked out, though, because I wound up giving his kid a DSi and a bunch of games and Wii games and stuff. So I guess it balances out.
Sonic Adventure NFL 2K.
That was a hell of a game. I didn't own a Dreamcast until I got one for $12 at a GameStop. But I had a friend who got it around launch, and I used to have a great time going over and pissing away afternoons playing Dreamcast with him.
But the first Nintendo system I bought at launch was a DS, even though I got a GameCube for Christmas in 2001, so really close to launch. And like Neil, somehow I bought a Game Boy Advance like a month after it came out.
Dude, that's kind of creepy, because I got a GameCube for Christmas that year too, and we're like the same age.
We are basically the same age, yeah. So that's are you me?
I don't know, this is weird.
You know,
did you just move your right arm? I did.
To segue a little bit more,
Back to the original topic.
A few weeks ago, we ran a little, story that, of course, ended up not being true, but a rumor that, like, GameStop was going to take pre-orders on the Wii U pretty soon, starting, like, August 13th. And I called a few local GameStops to, see if they were already taking pre-orders, if they knew when they would be, and all that kind of stuff. You know, doing some real journalistic investigation here, being a bit of a
game
pro.
Journalism.
Doing some kind of the work that, like, Polygon does, some real, like, save the industry kind of real serious business.
I know.
Really providing for my daughter, so,
Yeah. I like getting tattoos while editing articles, and I also like playing guitar for my wife in between, writing stories about Mario and riding Yoshi.
Exactly. So, I was looking up numbers to my local GameStops, and so I found a Yelp page for one, and I went to it, and it had one review, and it was from 2005, and it was this guy who was just like, yeah, this GameStop's pretty cool. I go here to buy all my Dreamcast games and my Game Gear games, but they don't really have a lot of Game Gear games, so I don't know. I just buy a lot of those online. And he gave it, 3 out of 5 stars. I really loved that. There was just something precious about a guy in 2005 going to GameStop to buy Game Gear and Dreamcast games.
Dude, I remember going to Funko Land and shit and basically spending $20 and getting 10 games for Nintendo and Game Boy. But anyway, let's talk Wii U launch. So do you guys have your 4 games picked out?
I'm good to go. I'll start it off.
I have more than 4.
Let's try to limit it to 4 and then we can discuss any ones that we don't afterwards.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, there's some I'm on the fence about. There's 4 though, I definitely want to get. I'll probably pre-order along with the system. So assuming that it's not bundled, Nintendo Land.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that might be a given for all 3 of us.
Definitely, even if it's not bundled, I'm buying that.
In all honesty, that's probably the game I'm most looking forward to playing when the system comes out.
I had a ton of fun with it at E3. I can't wait to play those games with my friends instead of random other people at E3.
Yeah, totally. New Super Mario Brothers. U.
Yep.
I just can't resist it. Excited. The art style actually looks interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun to play with my girlfriend. Unlike New Super Mario Brothers. 2.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. Another platformer, Rayman Legends.
See, I would not include that on my list because I don't think that's hitting at launch. I think that'll be out in December.
Okay. Well, assuming it's a launch title, then it's there. If not, then I won't get it yet. But I'm very excited for that. It looks great. Loved Rayman Origins. And it's going to be right there. It's interesting to see, if I get you and Legends the same day, what we'll end up putting more time into immediately. I'm kind of excited to see how they compare against each other.
Yeah.
So, and then I think I'm going to go Zombie U for my 4th one.
Yeah, Zombie U would definitely be my number 3 because... I think Rayman would probably... I think mine would be the exact same as you, except for the fact that I'm not confident that Rayman or Pikmin 3 or Project P100, for that matter, will be available on launch day.
Launch, sure.
Because I think if that were the case, then, P100 and Pikmin 3, Nintendo Land, and New Super Mario Bros. U would be my 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about you guys? So I'm assuming there's some overlap there.
So I got Nintendo Land, New Super Mario Bros. U... Zombie U, and I guess just to be a little different, and also because I don't think Rayman will be there at launch, Madden, because fucking love Madden on Nintendo systems, oddly enough. I love the Madden Wii games, and I know that the Wii U version seems to be, it's a lot more of a...
It sounds like they're not doing that much with it. It's a 360 port, but it doesn't even sound like it's as good as the 360 game.
With the FIFA games, on the first year on the system, because the whole thing is that with Madden, the development, at some point, they had to break off from the 360 and the PS3, and when they broke off after that, then the 360 and PS3 managed to fit in that new physics engine. And to me, I know people are crying bloody murder about it, but I understand that, the Wii U is a completely new system. And as long as they deliver on being able to call plays from the gamepad and being able to draw shit on the gamepad, I'm totally fine. Really, that's kind of what I want out of a Madden video game. While I do have Amazon release day delivery for the 360 version of Madden, keep in mind that that's the first Madden I will get on a system other than a Nintendo system since 2006. I've gotten my brother wound up getting Madden, the first Madden Wii, but after that, I got Madden on Wii every year, and I've been a very content Madden football player over the past number of years.
That's the thing. Madden would be close to my list. FIFA would be at least close to my list, if not for the fact that I'm getting those games for 360, which are most likely going to be better versions of the game than the Wii U one.
Next year,
hopefully they're the same thing, and I'd probably buy it on the Wii U based on functionality, but this year I don't think they would make it. Right now, my number one is Zombie U, because that was my game of the show at E3. I was kind of blown away by that game.
I would like to just make the quick mention that FIFA on Wii U looks hot as shit.
It looks like they put more into it than they put into the Madden.
Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah,
like I'm not a huge soccer gamer, but that game seems like friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I'll probably end up buying that anyway, unless I can talk somebody into. You're probably going to take the review copy, but
know.
If not, I won't.
I don't know. We can deal with him in the time.
We'll deal with that later. Anyway, yeah. I may still buy that. I may still buy that. That's one of the 13 games that I'm considering. But it's not my four. Number one.
It'd be like 6 or 7, maybe.
Yeah, anyway, okay. There's so much there. Zombie U is amazing. I love that game. I loved all of it that I played at E3.
I hear about that game, the more excited I am.
That was, I mean, like, you know me, like, JP, the P stands for Pikmin. I'm a huge Pikmin fan, and I love what I played at Pikmin 3, but Zombie U was the more impressive game at that show to me. So I am really looking forward to that one the most out of anything. After that would be Pikmin. Neil's pretty sure it's not coming at launch. I still think there's a good chance it's coming at launch, and if it's there, that's definitely on my list. After that, Assassin's Creed. I'm really interested in Assassin's Creed. I've never played the series before, but the American Revolution setting really intrigues me.
Damn, this is tough.
It's a big
honesty,
launch.
I have to agree with you. You know, I need more than four.
Yeah. So, and then Nintendo Land, I already said, and then there's probably at least half a dozen other games that I would be like, oh yeah, I want to buy that too, but...
Just scanning over the list that I made, there's an article up on the site, maybe we'll throw it in with the show notes, just kind of scanning it and going over, like, games that I am somewhat interested in, depending on what they do with Black Ops 2 on Wii U, that might be interesting.
Yeah, Skylanders, that's on my
list. I doubt I will double dip with Skylanders Giants. Because I'm gonna get the Wii version. Like that's going down. I can't wait for Skylanders. FIFA, it looks pretty good. You got Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Supposedly there will be some Wii U exclusive content or some kind of mode there. That might be the one to pick up for me, and that should actually come out the same time as everything else. Darksiders 2, maybe.
Darksiders 2 is definitely, like, if I'm doing another few games after the 4, that's definitely one of those. I mean, I never played the first one, but I've heard good things, and I'm very intrigued by that one.
Assassin's Creed 3 looks wonderful. Rabbids Land actually seems interesting. Scribblenauts also seems interesting. And, I mean, this is a pretty solid launch lineup.
I still think
This launch lineup suffers to a much lesser extent than the 3DS suffered, but it just suffers from not having that one game that everyone's talking about, which, granted,
Zombie
a lot
U,
of launch lineups for systems don't have that. Like,
Zombie U's on the verge of that. I think Zombie U might get to that point before
it comes out. I think the combination of Nintendo Land and Zombie U could be those games. I just think Nintendo needs to do a much better job of showing off how awesome Nintendo Land is, because that's the kind of game where, like,
once
playing
you play it
is believing it.
Yeah, it's like, I was, like, watching the E3 press conference, it's like, okay, this looks okay, and then I go and I play, like, Animal Crossing, and I'm like, this is fantastic. You know, I need to get 5 people in a room to play Animal Crossing Sweet Day, and I will be so happy, and it'll be so great, and so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And then Zombie U, it seems like the word's getting out on that, on that being a great title, and hopefully
that one I think is going to have some that one's going to have some buzz built up by the time the system comes out. I think that's going to be among the quote unquote hardcore gamers. That's going to be the game to get because it looks really good and it is Wii U exclusive.
Yeah, totally. It's kind of like the Wii U's Red Steel.
Except for good.
Don't compare it to that.
Except for good.
It's actually
a good
game.
Except for good, but it's kind of like that. It's like the one third-party game that I think is generating a lot of buzz.
It's made by Ubisoft.
And I think Rayman is
hardcore.
As well, because we're finding out that Rayman's going to be an exclusive game at least this year.
That's true.
Rayman. I loved what I played of Rayman, too. I mean, like, that rhythm level, man.
It looks awesome. But it's kind of interesting. It's sort of a feature idea I've had in my head for a while, but I just wonder how Nintendo Land's going to perform in terms of, like, getting that casual audience. Because, I mean, there's a lot of great games here for the quote-unquote hardcore, which is a term I really hate. But Nintendo Land seems to be that one game that they're hoping will pull people in the way that like Wii Sports did, and I don't think it's going to do it.
I think
it's going to be a great game. It's going to be the kind of thing where you play it and like you totally get it, but it's just not. It's not going to be the same thing because it's more of a game. It's not like what Wii Sports was, for better or worse.
With Wii Sports, you could watch someone playing it and understand it.
Yeah.
With Nintendo Land, you really need to play it yourself before you understand how great those games are, which is a barrier. Nintendo needs to put it in people's hands to make sure they play it and see what it is.
Right. That's going to be the biggest, I think, hurdle for them coming into the Wii U. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm really, really, really surprised there's not a Wii Sports U. I mean, maybe they think they've done kind of all they've done can
maybe
do with it.
Maybe it'll be included on the system.
Last year at E3 there were at least demos that had that kind of stuff, the baseball where you could catch with the game.
There was not a demo for that.
That wasn't this year. No, I mean it was a video demo of it. I mean,
well,
like
they
showed it
the
off.
Golf stuff too.
Yeah, that's the true. Golf stuff. I mean, that was at last. There's at E3 2011, but I remember they showed it, so that probably exists somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, Wii Music existed when the Wii was first shown.
So there you go. Hopefully that answered your question. We didn't really talk about games we're definitely not interested in.
I don't know if I'm interested in Batman.
Yeah, I'm actually playing through it right now on the PS3.
I love that game.
I'm at the very end. And yeah, I just don't, you know, if you've never played it, then yeah, I get it. Because
the Wii U
it's awesome.
Version does not seem to really add that much.
No, but you're right. Yeah, not enough to want to make you buy it again.
Yeah.
But if you never had the chance to play it, I mean, it's totally worth it. The game that doesn't interest me at all, which I'm kind of surprised about, is Pikmin 3.
Yeah,
you know, maybe
get
that's
off
blasphemy,
this podcast.
I've never played the other two, and like I don't know, it just hasn't really blown me away.
This is it's not like a big story game. You can jump into the third one and
won't miss
anything.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm not gonna like miss out on not knowing Olimar's backstory or anything, you know, his reason for hurting Pikmin. But
I mean, he's we don't know where he is in this one.
He is.
Oh, that's true. That's right. He's not even in it.
Kidnapped and possibly dead.
Right, he's marooned on another planet.
You know, I hope they run ads like they did for Resident Evil 5, where it's like the new captain's like standing beside like a gravestone for Olimar. Then it turns out he's alive and is just evil now. He's under some spell or whatever. I don't know. Resident Evil 5 stupid. Okay. I think that'll do it,
right?
You guys got anything else you want to say?
No, I'm done.
No, I think I'm good.
I think I'm spent.
All right. Cool.
So thank you very much for listening. As always, you can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com if you agree or disagree with anything we've said. Maybe Resident Evil 5 defenders can write in. But that will do it. So thanks, guys, for joining me.
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and we always love it when you rate and review the show in iTunes. Have a good week.